This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. We are, for a few weeks, in a series titled, Be Joyful. That's a command, by the way. It's not easy to be joyful in the circumstances of life. It's not easy to be joyful when you're going through medically or financially or when you're going through the things that we're going through. We have to choose to rejoice. We have to choose to praise His name. And when we do that, you see, the Word says God inhabits the praises of His people. One of the things that happens every Sunday here at primetime is as the trio and others begin to sing, the presence of God begins to inhabit the praise that's here. And I've had people say to me, I'm not sure what it is about that church, but I just like it. It's called the presence of God. Amen? And He inhabits our praises. We are in chapter 2 of Philippians. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word this morning? We're beginning in verse number 12, Philippians, chapter 2, verse number 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. I thank you that even as he wrote these words from a Roman prison, when it looked like he had lost everything, he knew that the true source of his life, the true riches that he possessed were not material. They were not of the natural realm, but they were of the spiritual realm. And I thank you, God, that this man's life was so pivotal to the foundation of the church and the redemption of hundreds of millions of lives. Thank you, Lord, that because he stood strong in the test, the world was changed. Thank you, Father. There are men and women in this room today that are standing strong in the test. And Lord, there the result will be that many will know and hear that God is good. Use us, Father, to be a witness to our community, our family, our friends, to our church. Bless, anoint the word, I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you may be seated. Our text this morning is verses 14 and 15, and the hour is later than usual, so we're going to move quickly this morning. Verse 14 and 15 of our text says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Did you know that real Christians are so different? We just shine and people think we're weird. They think we're odd because of the difference in the life of a real Christian. And the Apostle Paul is saying that we're to do everything without complaining or arguing. Not because we don't have the opportunity, but because we are called, first of all, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. And that just doesn't come with a package. In your notes, and I want you to follow with me quickly this morning, complaining makes you unhappy, and it makes everyone else around you unhappy. How many of you have a relative that just is the most negative, down person? Every time you get around them, they just... And how many of you just can't wait to see them? I hate to say it, but there, I have some relatives. I'll do anything in the world just to not see them, because I realize when I get there what I'm in for. They have that negative, down, hangdog, isn't it awful attitude. We are naturally negative. Some people even have negative blood. That's supposed to be a joke. Bad news makes headlines, not good news. Have you ever noticed that if you turn on the evening news at 5:30, there's not much good on it? It's the bad stuff. It's the wars and the famine and all the things that are around us. By our own nature and conditioning of people, things around us, we tend to develop the habit of complaining. That's just going to happen because that's what we're around. And unless we do something about it, that will take over our lives. Today we're going to be looking in scriptures at four common types of complainers. And you will probably find yourself, if you do, you don't have to raise your hand. If you're next to somebody that you discovered, you don't need to elbow them. So we're just going to, this is going to be an anonymous teaching session. Number one is the whiner. These people wake up negative, they hit the ground, and they rise and whine. One guy said to another, "Do you wake up grouchy in the morning?" The other guy said, "No, I usually let her sleep in." Not sure why all these jokes are, have a woman as their object. David is an excellent example of the whiner. I've given you an example here in Psalm 73. David is speaking. He says, "Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain I've washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning." David was not exactly having an up day. If you go through the book of Psalms, you see a lot of negative Psalms by David because he fought that all the time. His melancholy temperament continually fought that negative. If something would go wrong and he'd begin to complain to God. And he just naturally had that tendency to be negative. David is saying, how come the bad guys are prospering? It's not fair. And has that ever occurred to you? Why are the bad people prospering? God never said it would be fair until Satan is finally bound and God's kingdom has come and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That's when it's going to be fair. God's going to settle the score in heaven and hell. But life does not always seem fair, and as long as you complain about it, it only makes you more miserable. Complaining does not work, ladies and gentlemen. It just doesn't work. Do you know any whiners? I do. Are you a whiner? I love as for whining is not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. It's not something God wants you to deal with. Number two is the martyr. Moses is an excellent example of the martyr. The favorite passage of the martyr is, "No one appreciates me." Turn back to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. I want you to see some words that Moses wrote. They had run out of food. The people, the children of Israel, were complaining that they wanted quail. They were tired of manna, and they wanted something else to eat. Verse 10 of Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. Now understand, at this point, there are several million people in the children of Israel. Huge group of people. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people?" He's having a pity party, isn't he? "They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin." Moses was having a pity party. He was weary of the battle. Yes, he had been called by God. Yes, God had done a miracle. He had brought them out of Egypt. And yet he had grown weary on the way of fulfilling the purpose and plan of God. And folks, sometimes we can become weary of doing what God has called us to do. And yet we just keep on keeping on. Jim, when you hear your wife may have a serious medical condition, you just get that songbook out and you keep singing and you keep practicing. When Nancy and I have gone through hard places, I mean hard places, we just keep singing and we keep preaching and we keep telling people of the love of God. You don't stop, you don't back up, you don't have a pity party. You say, "God, I trust you, I believe you, and I'm going forward." Number three in your notes is the cynic. The Bible example of this is Solomon. The favorite phrase of the cynic is, "Nothing will ever change." They are fatalistic. They're negative. Turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And the first chapter. And let's just begin with the first verse. Ecclesiastes 1:1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. And that, of course, we know was Solomon. And here's a real up statement if you're looking for something to bless you. Verse 2 of Ecclesiastes, "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." Have you ever felt that way? "What does man gain from all of his labor, at which he toils under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever." Skip down to verse 9. "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." Now, I'm not sure if he was referring to picking up after children or teenagers. I'm not sure what he was speaking of, but his life had become very repetitive. He had inherited the throne from his father David. That sounded like an exciting thing until you take the responsibility for millions of people, of keeping them happy, of moving forward, and of fulfilling their expectations and their dreams. Number four is the perfectionist. And I make the statement in the notes that the perfectionist is unpleasable. They're unpleasable. Their favorite phrase is that the best you can do? Proverbs 27, verse 15 says, "A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day." A quarrelsome wife is like a consistent dripping on a rainy day. There was a lady in a restaurant. She said to the waiter, "Waiter, do you serve crabs?" He said, "Lady, we serve anybody." When you expect life to be perfect, when you expect people to be perfect, be it in your family, the church, the nation, you're going to be disappointed. There's only been one perfect person, and that was Jesus Christ. So He is our hope. He is our life. We realize that perfectionism is an unrealistic goal. And we take people where they are, and we love them, and we accept them. I'm so grateful for prime time. Somebody asked me one time, "Well, you know, don't you have a lot of bickering and fighting with those old people?" I said, "No." I said, "That's the sweetest group of people I've ever met. We just give each other space to be who we are." Amen. We just say, "Look, you're old, I'm old, we're all old. Let's get along here." And so. And for some of you that are younger, I'm sorry. We actually have younger people coming to our church now. I've got to stop with the old jokes because we've got sweet younger people coming. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." Did you know you can disagree with someone and be sweet about it? I have to do that all the time. Just, you know, be sweet to people and just say, "Well, let's pray about that. I'm not really sure." You don't have to say, "That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You know, who would want to do that?" No, you don't do that. You let that grace of God, the love of Christ, flow through you. Then finally, number 5, principles to break a complaining spirit. And we're going to start this today. We'll finish it in 2 weeks, finish this sermon. There was just too much in it. Number 1, admit that it's a problem for you. If you have a complaining spirit, admit that it's a problem. Proverbs 28:13, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." If I want to be free, if I want to live joyfully, I come before God and I renounce and I confess my sins. If I need to, I need to go to that person and say, "I'm sorry. I blew it. I'm sorry. I sinned." And let God bring a healing and a restoration. We respond, you know, "I'm not a complainer. I just have a few justified gripes. But I'm not a complainer." The first thing we have to do is admit that we have the problem. Proverbs 28:13, "Whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Ladies and gentlemen, it's not too late. You're not too old to be forgiven and to be changed. You're not in a place where God cannot deal with it and bring joy and fruitfulness into your life. One of the things that we're going to see in the life of the Apostle Paul, and we saw in the people that he ministered to, is their lives were changed, and they changed the lives of those that were around them. They didn't live in a pity party. They lived with an attitude of, "God, how can I be an example? How can I be a witness? How can I be used by you?" Complaining was the sin, by the way, that kept the Israelites out of the promised land. They had made numerous trips around and were unable to go in. But it was that complaining spirit. God destroyed them in the desert because they grumbled and complained. 7 times it says they murmured. Have you ever been around someone that murmurs? That means they always have a negative reaction to whatever you say, whatever you want to do. They're murmuring. "I've got a better idea. I don't like that." God said one more time around the desert, and that generation died in the wilderness because they were not willing for God to work a change in them. They were not willing. They never learned the lesson, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." When they tell you at the doctor's office that you have a deadly disease, when they tell you that the bank has made a mistake and you've got $100,000 less than what you thought you had, when they, you know, whatever happens to you, the Word says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The reason the children of Israel never got to the promised land was because they were complainers. Let me just tell you something. You're never going to get where you want to go being a complainer. You're never going to achieve what you want to achieve being a complainer. You're going to achieve what you want to achieve. You're going to receive what you want to receive by being a praiser. By, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When you're going through the hard place, when you're going through the difficult place, when your children are going through the hard places, you praise God for the time that the victory is coming. Many people have a difficult time being positive. They just tend to see things negative. They pick out the bad points. They're just gifted like that. They find it easier to be critical than to compliment. Dear friend, the Word of God says, confess it to God as a sin. Ask Him to forgive you and to help you. When you come into the church, say, God, give me a spirit of graciousness and gratefulness, and let me be one that gives thanks. When you're dealing with your family, when you're dealing with the people you work with, when you're dealing with those that are living next to you, let your words be a fountain of joy, a fountain of sweetness, a fountain of blessing. Don't let your words be words of condemnation, words of defeat, negative words that pull people down, but let your words be words that are going to build up. When we in everything give thanks, we overcome the negative by speaking the positive. As we go through this book of Philippians, I want you to understand where Paul is writing this from. He's writing it from a Roman jail. He's writing it with none of the amenities of life that would make life happy and joyful. He is simply living by faith. Judy, this last week or 2 weeks ago, you simply took that promise by faith and said, God, I believe it. When I went through the hardship that I went through a year ago, I simply by faith said, Lord, I'm trusting you to bring me through this. Whatever you're going through, financially, emotionally, spiritually, I want you to know today, you serve a God that cares. He's concerned, and He's going to bring you through. Can we pray together? Lord, I thank You for the promises of God. I thank You that they are yea and amen. Lord, I thank You that they will never fail us. We can stand on those promises, Lord, for our healing, our finances, our family, our nation, our work, our businesses. And in the name of Jesus, I come against the negative spirits that would try to discourage, try to bring hopelessness. I thank You, God, today that in Jesus Christ, we have what we need, both in this life and in the life to come. We love You this morning. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your goodness, for Your hope. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many in this room would say, Pastor, I am so grateful today that I know that I know that I know that my sins are forgiven. I've been born again. And if I were to die in the next 15 seconds, my eternity would be in heaven. I have that assurance. And I lift my hand boldly and proudly. Can I see your hand across this room, wherever you may be? You may be here, and for whatever reason, you could not raise your hand. I want you to know that the Lord brought you to this service this morning. 2,000 years ago, when He went to the cross, He saw you and He died for you. He saw you in the future and He offers you today the gift of eternal life, freedom from a future without meaning or purpose. He offers you hope. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't have the assurance of eternal life, but I want to have that. I want Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Pray for me. Could I see your hand wherever you may be across this room? I do not have that assurance, but I want to have it. Lord, I thank you today that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, when we call upon you, not only do you forgive us, you empower us. You enable us. You live in us, Father. You answer our prayers. God, you give us the authority to come against the power of Satan and live successfully. So we love you this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.